Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. You're tuning in today to Fire on the Earth. My special guest this, at least the first few days this week, is my lovely wife, Debbie. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, you can access it on our website at renewalministries.net. Debbie's just sharing his story and journey, the mission to young women that the Lord had put on her heart many, many years ago. And she was right in the middle of a great story yesterday about the impact of Mother Teresa. She'll share with us more. Welcome back, Deb.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Yes, maybe just give a little bit of background again for folks who are hearing for the first time and set the scene and then just pick up where you left off. That'd be great.
Sure. You and I are young parents. We've got two kids, 2.5 and younger, and I'm kind of in the midst of just young motherhood and struggling with God showed me that what I'm doing is really important and valuable to you. And then we were invited to Germany to speak at a conference. You ended up speaking, I didn't, and I'm really wrestling with God about, God, why did you bring me here? Would have been much easier to stay home.
Yes, and you mentioned yesterday, you were so excited to go, we were excited to go together. Like what you said yesterday, you were looking forward to just kind of dressing up. I mean, this was a big event too, there were 5,000 people, the World Congress on the Family.
Yeah.
And just to be able to be away, because I'd done a lot of traveling and you were home with the two little ones. And then we brought Mikey, who was 6 months. And you didn't mention yesterday, he actually got sick too. They not only lost your suitcase and stole jewelry out of it, you know, that kind of thing. So it was tough when we landed. And then when we landed, the organizers came to us and said, well, we actually overbooked speakers. So we just one of you can speak. And then I ended up speaking, which you were very gracious to say yes to. But then with all that stuff that happened, he had to stay in the room and take care of Mikey because he was quite sick, he had a bad cold or something.
And I want to just remind people, this is a long time ago. So this was before everyone is tuned in technologically to everything, that we have access to all this information about everything that's happening in the world. And we go to the closing talk. I don't know, it was a keynote, but it was the closing talk. And I really had not been super tuned into who the speakers were, because there were so many speakers and so many different things. But we walk into this huge hall, and they begin to escort us to our special seats, which were in the balcony, speaker seats. And a young woman, I had Michael in my arms, came up and tapped me on the shoulder. She was clearly a conference worker, and she said, excuse me, Mother Teresa is the keynote speaker. And I was like, oh, okay. And I honestly have to tell you, I knew she was famous and important, but I didn't really even know that much about her. And she said, Mother Teresa is looking for about 10 or 12 women who have babies with them who are willing to sit on the stage while she speaks. Would you be willing to do that? And I was like, okay, sure. So I started to go one way, and he said, well, where are you going? And I said, well, I'm going to sit with Mother Teresa. And he went up to his seat in the balcony, and I was led backstage and then onto the stage with about 10 other women who were sitting with their babies. And the miracle, there's so many miracles of the story, but one was that every single baby was so quiet, so well-behaved, as Mother Teresa began to give her address to the crowd, really about the value and the dignity of every human life. And I remember she said the first one who ever greeted Jesus was John in the womb. And just a beautiful talk, and very close to her, you know, maybe 3 to 6 feet away from her. So, and I thought, wow, this was amazing. We can go home now. And as I left the stage, that same conference worker came up and said, wait, don't go yet. Mother Teresa would like all the women who were with her on the stage to come backstage, and she'd like to individually greet each one of you. And so I remember standing in line, and again, the days before cell phones, so I wasn't thinking, who can I text about this? Can I get a selfie with Mother Teresa? I was just praying that Michael would be peaceful so that I could really have that moment with her. And I walked up to her. He was in my arms, and I remember the very first thing she did was she pressed a miraculous medal in my hand. And if you know anything about Mother Teresa, which I didn't at the time, that was her calling card, and she must have given away hundreds of thousands of those throughout the course of her life. And then she took her finger and she traced the sign of the cross on Michael's forehead. And I just kind of bowed and said I was happy to meet her. And then as I turned to go, she actually grabbed my hand and pulled me close to her. And I remember She pulled me down because she was significantly shorter than I was, and she looked me in the eyes, and she kind of pointed her little crooked finger at me, and she said, "Never forget that your job as a mother is the most important job in the whole world." And as she spoke those words to me, I was able to receive them as God speaking to me, as if God was saying, "I see you. I know you live. I know all your unheralded, your hidden acts of love for your family and for your children. And I see you, and it's valuable, and it's important. And not only is it valuable, it has eternal value in the kingdom of God." And it was like she really spoke like a prophetic word into my heart that was so powerful. And in that moment, I knew why God had brought me to Germany, that he had brought me there to hear something from his heart that I couldn't hear at home in the normal routine of my own life. And they often say that we don't find saints, saints find us. And I believe that Mother Teresa found me that day. And I went home and I began to read all about her life, about her call within the call. And I began to read about love and what the vocation of love really means, that how we love those in our family, what it means to do small things with great love, what it means to this ripple effect that she talked about. If we love the person in front of us and somehow love them with the love of Christ, they can then go out and love the next person. And before you know it, there's a revolution of love that's happened. And I want to say that Mother Teresa, over the course of those next number of years, as I read about her, as I prayed through what she was saying, she transformed my vocation as a mother, and I believe began to form the ministry that God would call me into then. I was doing the camp, but I didn't have a sense of calling or ministry. I was just like, this is a good thing to do. And so she really began to form and shape that in me. And so fast forward now, probably 20 years into doing the camp, faithfully every year, every summer, really allowing junior high girls to have a powerful encounter with the Lord. But they're walking back, as we're noticing, into a culture and a climate that's very, very difficult to be a disciple in. And one night at camp, at the end of a long, very, very powerful week together, we were all in the tent worshiping the Lord. And I distinctly felt like God was impressing on my heart. He said, "Look at all these young women who love me, who are so filled with joy and freedom." He said, "If you can take this love that they've experienced here and help them live it in the world, you can start a revolution of love." And I remember first I was like, "Oh, that's a cute idea." And the Lord like really kind of corrected me and said, "It's not cute, it's powerful." And so I began to pray with that and began to notice that what they needed is not just a mountaintop experience of the Lord, but they need to learn how to come down into the valley of their life and really learn how to live for him day in and day out. They need to learn how to pray. They need to learn how to share their lives. They need to learn how to dive into scripture and read scripture. They needed to learn what it means to be a disciple and what it means to walk as authentic friends together through the difficult things, not just the mountaintop experience. And that's really where Be Love Revolution was born. At camp, that image and that experience of, wow, we could really begin a revolution of love. And immediately, as I thought about who can accompany us in this, it was Mother Teresa. And she became our patron saint and really the one who began to shape our idea of what it means to teach these girls what it means to love. And so we formed, as I know you know, as we began to form and shape this ministry for middle school girls, but really it began for high school girls. The Lord gave us like three little taglines for Be Love Revolution. The first was Be His. And that really begins with allowing girls to encounter the person of Christ so they really know what it means to belong to him, to be a beloved daughter. And that is the first thing that needs to happen, is that moment of conversion and ongoing conversion. The second is Be Free. And this is, what does it look like to actually walk in freedom as a beloved daughter of God, free from the expectations and the pressures of the culture and the world, to live in freedom from sin and from the lies of the enemy, to really learn what is the battle I'm fighting in my life and how can I fight it as a beloved daughter with the truth of who God is. And there's nothing more beautiful than a young woman who's free in Jesus. And then the third one and the final thing is Be Love. when you encounter him, when you're walking in his freedom, then you're able to really be his love in the world today. And I don't mean the world in a big sense. I mean your family, in your friendships, in your relationships.
So it grew out of the camp. And then what are the elements of that? Like, just concretely, what does that look like? And it seems to be getting younger as well and going.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'd say about, you know, 8 or 10 years ago, Be Love was up and running, and we had a lot of girls involved in it because of the camp. Well, that was a natural next step for them when they entered high school. But we began to notice what a lot of us noticed, and that was the culture was so invasive at a younger age for these girls. So where it used to be, yeah, girls in high school have phones and they're on social media, now it's like you're in second or third grade and you have a phone. Yeah. So the culture was really like, we felt like we needed to take a step back and really grab hold of these girls and their hearts and help them encounter Christ at an earlier age, because starting in high school, it's almost too late. Been so impacted by the culture around them. And so we began to expand the ministry to say we want to do things for middle schoolers as well. And now we even have some events we do for the little girls, the rising first through fifth graders, because we just, why are we waiting?
Yeah, what's the event, the big event you do in the summer that all the little girls love and they can't wait because their big sisters told them about it?
Yes, it's called Daughters of the King. And we basically replicate what would be an event for a middle or a high schooler for these little girls. And they come with their big sisters and they're in a little small group throughout the evening and they do a craft and they hear a little talk. They have a snack and then we help them to be in front of the Blessed Sacrament and to worship Jesus, to receive the truth, which I think they believe in a more pure sense, that this really is Jesus present to us. And it's so beautiful to watch them open their hearts up. And they're like, can we come back next week? And we're like, no, you have to wait a little longer. But to even plant in them the seed of, not only am I a beloved daughter of God, which is so important, but I'm part of something bigger. I'm part of a movement. I'm part of a revolution of love. And my life can actually impact other people's lives by the way I love Jesus and the way I love those who are right in front of me.
Yeah, that event every year, it amazes me. The barn is, big barn at our parish, Grace the King, is packed, and these girls dance and sing and they just enjoy themselves, and the older girls take care of the younger girls, and it's really quite beautiful. So the main thing that today I think would just be a good takeaway is the heart of the ministry is to be his, to be free in order to be love.
Yes.
Be his. He's the one who helps us get free. Free of the wounds, free of the sin, free of the confusion, free of that. Be his so that I can be free. And when I'm free, I can love the way he wants me to, right?
Yes.
That's the whole, right?
Yes, and then it's circular. It's not linear. Then as we begin to love others, the love of Christ grows within us and our capacity to love grows and we want to be with him more.
Yeah.
And so it's a beautiful journey that they're on, and the ability to forget about themselves and to focus their attention on others is, I mean, that's a winner all day long. So right. That's what we want to do, is really help them focus their attention and their energy and their love on others.
Yes. You can find out more about Be Love Revolution by just going to renewalministries.net. A lot of information. But Debbie's going to be back with us again tomorrow, friends, and kind of fill the picture out a little bit more, some of the content to give to the girls to help them walk in faith. So hope you can join us tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question. But it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.